Chris Johnston, brought to you by McLeod Trail Midas. Save some cash and skip the dealer. Bring your vehicle into McLeod Trail Midas, a full-service shop. Check out their Facebook page or schedule an appointment at Midas.com.
And CJ joins us now from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. How'd you like the Sedin jersey retirement last night?
I was a big fan, I got to be honest. I sat on my couch and watched it from start to finish. I thought Kevin Bieksa was great. John Shorthouse, the broadcaster, did a nice job there, and you could just feel the energy that you know was sort of putting a maybe almost putting a bookend on that chapter for Canucks fans in their history. You know, the best teams that they had in that organization's history, and I thought it was good all around.
What's your feel? We had this talk yesterday on the program. What's your feel on Daniel and Henrik and Hall of Fame eligibility?
I think they're going to get in. You know, I just the fact that each won an Art Ross Trophy, major award, in terms of one with the Hart and one with the Pearson at the time, now the Ted Lindsay Award, plus you know what they did internationally, winning an Olympic gold medal with Sweden. I just feel like that, and you know, I realize their numbers maybe don't stack up, you know, with some of the all-time you know best offensive players, but the fact they helped usher in maybe a little different look at the game too, you know, will help them. And, you know, being the best two players in a 50-plus-year-old franchise's history, we'll put the cherry on top. So, you know, I don't know that it'll happen in the first year, but I would be surprised if we're talking 10 years from now and both of those guys aren't in the hall.
So you don't see a 34-year wait like Rogie Vachon?
Well, I mean, look, the problem is we don't get any insight into the process.
Sure
I mean,
is the problem, isn't it, CJ? We know nothing.
So it's kind of hard to handicap it because we never know, you know, exactly how it plays out. I know, I believe it's a 17-member panel and you got to get 3/4 votes, but the votes are all private and everything anyway. But yeah, I just have to believe, you know, as winners of a scoring title that they're getting in and, you know, long, proud, even the off-ice stuff. I it just feels to me like they're Hall of Famers.
I feel like the Hall of Fame's got some Houston Astros level PR right now.
Oh, man. And Berkey's on the panel, too, so I bug him about that whenever I can.
Ask him about Theo. That's the one that gets in everyone's craw around here. Like, do you think of a guy that, you know, did things that you'll never forget? Theo's got to be that, no?
Okay, well, I'll call that Saturday homework for me, and I'll bring you guys maybe a little juice next week.
Well, he's sworn to secrecy, so he's either breaking his oath or we'll get some goodies, right? Or we won't, yeah.
Maybe off-air juice.
Okay.
What Jacob Markstrom steals the show for the Canucks in that game. 49 save shutout as the Canucks beat the Blackhawks 3-0 on Sedin night. What are you hearing out of Vancouver on Markstrom contract talks? That continues to be a really interesting conversation league-wide.
Well, I would say it gets more interesting by the day. I mean, the fact that he's quite rightly injected himself, at least in the conversation around the Vezina Trophy, you know, it doesn't hurt to have a 49 save shutout, the first time any Swedish goalie ever has done that in the NHL, made that many saves in a shutout, you know, at a time when there's a lot of eyeballs on the game. And, you know, it doesn't really sound like a whole lot's happening. I mean, there's been some talks. I reported a couple weeks ago that there was a 2-year offer extended from the Canucks, you know, to Jacob Markstrom. But, you know, I'm not sure that that's really gone anywhere at this point. And, you know, it's a really tough question. I do think that there's a want on both sides to make it work. The question becomes really, you know, what are the Canucks willing to do to make it happen? Because, you know, unless he signs a 1-year deal, you know, they're going to face a question about what they do with the Seattle expansion draft, which goaltender they protect and which they keep. And, you know, I can't see a scenario where Jacob Markstrom signing, say, a 4 or 5 year extension and he's not getting a no move clause to guarantee that he'll be playing out that extension in Vancouver as opposed to, you know, being exposed for the expansion draft. So, you know, there's still a lot to work out. I do think it can happen in the off season. I don't know that it has to go down right now. And my sense is that they're taking things slowly.
It's funny. We have Kevin Woodley on like once a month and he's got access to some proprietary goaltender data. And he said, if you just look at the cutting edge goalie data, like this is a guy that has to be a Vezina finalist and you could build a strong case for to win it. That doesn't sound like the type of goalie who at 30 would accept a 2-year deal.
Exactly. And, you know, what's notable about Markstrom, I mean, he never bought a house in Vancouver. I think he's been waiting because, you know, part of it's performance based, but it's taken him a long time to get to this point in his career where he's had this kind of season where he's emerged as a true number one goaltender and been worthy of the hype that you know, greeted his arrival into North America. And so, you know, I think he is looking for some degree of security on this contract, and you know, he's earned it, I would say, based on how he's played. You know, it's a tough decision for the Canucks organization, and just because, you know, I think they're so high on Thatcher Demko as well. And, you know, I wouldn't surprise me if they play out the year and make that decision one way or the other when they've seen how the rest of the season looks, because it doesn't seem as though there's any real urgency to try to get an answer one way or another right now.
Would, if that were to be the case, say that they do end up figuring something out a little longer term with Markstrom, he's 30, which in goaltender speak is still relatively young or middle of your career. So would that, knowing the expansion draft and just knowing how things go in this league, does that all of a sudden make Demko a potential trade piece for them?
It might, or perhaps they just, you know, decide to play out next year with him and lose him in the expansion draft. I mean, I think one thing that we're going to see as a trend in general, different from the Vegas draft, is I don't think you're going to see as many teams twist themselves in knots trying to protect assets and give up even more and do all that. I think in some cases, teams are just going to realize they're losing a good player and take their medicine, because, you know, looking back, and especially with some history to reflect upon, I mean, where teams made the biggest mistakes, I think, is the ones that made trades, you know, because they were worried about, you know, their protection issues. For example, the Blue Jackets at the time were really worried about losing Jonas Korpisalo behind Sergei Bobrovsky. And, you know, they traded William Karlsson plus a first round pick to Vegas. And, you know, Karlsson promptly became the number one center for the Golden Knights. And they got the first rounder. And, you know, at this point, we've seen Elvis Merzlikins come in with Korpisalo injured, and you wonder, you know, was all that worth it? And the problem for every GM, of course, is you don't have the benefit of knowing exactly how things are going to play out. But I do think that we're going to see more teams, you know, just realize they have a protection issue and lose a good player and move on with it. And perhaps that's where things go with Vancouver.
Saw some news today that's interesting. Sammy Vatanen to IR, retroactive a bit. They're 10 days out from the deadline-ish in Jersey, and he's an expiring defenseman. Is that serious? What do you know on that front? Blocked a shot, apparently.
Yeah, I don't know the extent of his injury, but it certainly complicates any hopes to trade him. You know, they would have to be very upfront, I would think, with any team they're doing business with. You know, you're able. There's nothing in the rules to prevent you from trading a player that's injured, but, you know, any team that's bringing in a rental defenseman is going to want pretty good assurance that he's going to be able to play for you, that whatever he's dealing with isn't too serious. And so I don't have a good update on his status as an injured player, but, you know, this is a reason why some teams start holding out, you know, guys in this position, you know, which we saw New Jersey do with Taylor Hall even before Christmas time, when it was clear that they were going to trade him. You don't want to risk an injury, because I think it does complicate those discussions.
CJ joins us Tuesday and Thursday, Chris Johnson from Hockey Night. Question for you on the Minnesota Wild. They're a team you were talking about way before the break. They've made one big deal as Zucker's gone to Pittsburgh. Nice return for them there. They're only 4 points out of a playoff spot with three games in hand on the Coyotes. Why in the world would they be, I guess, taking calls on Matt Dumba as all of a sudden is so prevalent around the hockey rumor mill? He's got years left on his deal.
I think they're just willing to do it for a big price. And let's face it, Pittsburgh paid a pretty big price to get Zucker. I mean, you know, I think that deal makes sense from Minnesota's standpoint, even if they are in the playoff race right now, just because, you know, they got the Russian Kirill Kaprizov coming over from the KHL next year. They needed room in their top six. It was the one contract, I think, that they could move pretty easily among their established forwards and still get good value back. And so, you know, I think that was a deal made, you know, not just, you know, because of the deadline, and, you know, it made sense for them in a bigger scope. You know, I don't get the feeling that they've come into this deadline thinking they have to move Dumba, but, you know, he's a pretty attractive player and he might get them a significant haul in return. And so I think that's why they've taken some calls on him and explored the market. But I would say if I'm putting a percentage on it, it's more likely than not he remains in Minnesota beyond the deadline. So, you know, I don't know that he's someone we're going to necessarily see move, but, you know, I think that Bill Guerin being new in the job is maybe more open and maybe a little bit less married to some of the core players on the team than you might typically see for someone in this position.
Chris Johnson with us from Sportsnet. It's funny, Pinder asked you about the Minnesota Wild and where they might be and kind of relative to their playoff positioning, which is they're right there in the middle of the mix. I feel like we've had these conversations before, but we're 11 days from the trade deadline. Is it as hard as ever to handicap who is going to be in more of a addition mode and who's going to be selling because there are so many teams in the middle of the NHL right now?
Well, I do think it's complicated and probably led to a little slower run up here than we've typically seen in the last couple of years in terms of moves that have already happened. But, you know, I also think it's going to sort itself out. I mean, I think most teams understand by and large, you want to be on one side or the other of the equation. You know, I don't know that too many teams go into the deadline absolutely deciding 100% they're going to stand pat. I think you want to have, say, in the last two or three days, an idea that, you know, of ways, whether you are taking away from your team or maybe trying to find a way to add someone. And so, yeah, this is a crazy year. The Pacific Division best embodies it because pretty much every couple of days you're having a new team at the top. And obviously, especially shuffling in the spot the Flames are, you know, between the wild card and the third spot and all that. You know, so this is a strange that there's more. It's a more compressed standings than we've ever seen. And you know, there's teams like Montreal, which I think now probably with another loss last night in Boston is definitely leaning more towards the selling side. But, you know, was really a flip potential. I mean, if they went into the break or the deadline rather winning four or five games in a row, it might have changed the strategy there. And you know, I guess that's the way you have to be. I mean, it's a weird thing because the playoff format, I think, you know, the one thing I keep coming back to is that we might end up with some funny teams going on runs this year. And we kind of did last year. The first round had a ton of surprises in it. And, you know, so it feels as though there's more reason to kind of go for it, too, even if you're a middle-of-the-pack team that believes you might be able to catch a hot wave.
Do you get – we had this conversation about an hour ago. Do you get the sense as to – whether or not the Flames would be willing to go down the road of maybe trading off unrestricted free agents, one or two of them? We're talking about Brody and Hamonic here, and somebody texted in and said, well, look at what the St. Louis Blues did a few years ago. They traded guys that weren't going to be coming back and still stayed competitive. Do you see any scenario where the Flames would go down that road?
You know, I suppose it's always possible, but I do think it's a little less likely just because of their division they're in. I mean, it's wide open, and I think that there's a path to the conference final there, not necessarily just for Calgary, but I think that's in the back of the minds of the Vancouver Canucks and Edmonton, Vegas. I mean, all the teams in the mix, you don't really have to stretch your imagination for how things could work out in a good way with the way the divisional format works. So, you know, with them being so close right now, I mean, I just don't know what could happen between then and now. I guess more injuries or more reason, you know, for Brad Treliving to think that they can't do it. But it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I think that they're right there in the mix, even, you know, with maybe any disappointment attached to the loss yesterday or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be quite surprised if they were one of the teams that did that. But, you know, over in the East, it's a little different where I think you have a bit more separation between teams and you know, you could see someone, you know, making about face and sell off that you're thinking was going to be a buyer.
We obviously know about the guys that are expiring contracts, the coveted players that a contender would add, but there's always got to be stuff going back the other way. And I wonder if you have an update on some of the prospects that will be coveted. We've talked a lot about Jesse Puljujärvi, who's over in Europe playing. He does not have a contract right now, although his rights are held by the Oilers. And Julius Honka went the same route with Dallas this year with a lot less fanfare. Are those names out there, and are those deals that these GMs would like to make now or wait until June?
Well, certainly I know on the Puljujärvi front, it's a move they would make. And you know, it's probably a card the Oilers are going to try to play. You know, they've gone into this trade deadline basically saying they're not going to give up a first-round pick. There's a saying I'm reminded of, though, the truth today isn't always the truth tomorrow. And maybe, you know, what happens between now and the 24th might compel Ken Holland to part with that pick. But, you know, in his case, I think Puljujärvi and his second are probably his two biggest chips to play in terms of trying to bring in a little bit more forward depth to help with his team. And so I wouldn't be surprised if Puljujärvi did end up on the move. by the deadline. There's also been extensive talks with teams. You know, the New York Rangers showed a lot of interest in him at various points through the summer and into the season. I think the Devils have asked about him. You know, Tampa at one point. I mean, there's been enough, I think, history there that the Oilers would be pretty clear on who at least has some interest. And you know, I think he still has some value, not the value of where he was selected, obviously. But this is, you know, one of the real cards I think the Oilers can play. And you know, I do expect Edmonton to be active and to at least bring in one more forward before the deadline.
Anything else hot trade market wise that you're very intrigued? I mean, we're getting close and it does feel relatively quiet here, or maybe we just always overhype this deadline.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's quiet in terms of the number of calls being made, but it just doesn't feel as though you have a bunch of bidding wars going on. You know, I do know the Devils are a team that have kind of made it be known out there that they're willing to move on from maybe some of their players that aren't, you know, pending UFAs. You know, some of the younger forwards like Blake Coleman or Miles Wood, maybe even Kyle Palmieri. But I do think that, you know, at this point for Tom Fitzgerald, who's taking over for Ray Sherrill on an interim basis, that, you know, he's looking to get some business done. And those kind of names, especially with remaining term beyond the season, you know, will probably attract some attention on the marketplace. But, you know, I share your view in that it's not nearly as cooking as normal. And I don't think that we have a lot of surprises in for us. I mean, maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe an hour from now after this, I'll regret saying that. But, you know, just in asking around, a lot of people have given me sort of the same answer. The names are the names, you know, the ones you guys have been talking about or the ones that are out there and that are going to move. And you know, I think a lot of it's back to Pat's original point. It's just there's not the separation between teams. You know, obviously there's a few teams at the bottom that are trying to sell and a few at the top that are pretty comfortable in the buyer's spot. But the mushy middle is complicating things.
He's Chris Johnston, our NHL insider. A couple more and focused in on the team that you spend a lot of time following around North America. The Toronto Maple Leafs are getting Freddie Anderson back. Just how big of a boost is that for that group? Not just between the pipes, because Jack Campbell's come in and been fine since that trade, but just overall morale-wise, how big will that be?
Well, he holds the key likely to their season, I would say, and that's even with Jack Campbell having three pretty good starts, you know, since being acquired in the trade. I mean, the Leafs have put themselves in a slightly precarious spot and that, you know, they have a lot of good underlying numbers. They score a ton of goals, but, you know, they haven't had as much success as they would like. And they've given away some points thanks to goaltending, you know, largely the backup play when Michael Hutchinson was handling those starts. So, you know, I think that it's not much of a secret that they need Frederick Anderson. They're a team that can score a lot, but tends to give up some chances and some high danger chances, maybe more than other teams. And so, yeah, it's big news. And I guess everyone's just waiting to see with, you know, week and a bit off, how is there any rust there? You know, it was a neck injury that kept him out. He's had concussion issues in the past. And there'll probably be some sensitivity or closely watching to see if he's at 100% and if there's any collisions or those sorts of things around the crease. But, you know, they've been cautious. He's been on the ice 6 or 7 days now, but before actually getting back in here to play a game. And, you know, the Leafs are counting on him to be steady, which he's been for 4 years now for this team, and will probably end up making the difference. As I say, if I just think if he plays at the level he typically plays at, they're probably getting the playoffs. But if something happens, if he misses more games, it's a bit more of a coin flip than anyone in this organization would care to have thought about at the start of the year.
Last one for you with Anderson coming back, Michael Hutchinson on waivers today. What does the future hold for him? Like, there was a time when this is a guy that, you know, was somewhat highly touted when he was a member of the Winnipeg Jets, and he'd been connected to a number of teams that were looking for a potential number one goalie, has not been able to find himself a niche or a spot in Toronto. What does the future hold for him?
Well, he's still young enough, you know, under 30, that I'm certainly not saying he's played his last games in the NHL, but, you know, this is tough news for him. He had a good chance here. He played 14 or 15 games this season for the Leafs and you know, just didn't get the job done, didn't stop enough pucks. It's certainly not all on him. As I say, it's not a very stout defensive team, and they probably put him into some tough spots as a result of that. But, you know, I would expect he'll clear waivers tomorrow and be sent to the Marlies for the rest of the year, and, you know, he'll be a free agent. But, you know, I think he's still got some runway as a professional goaltender. He's put up good numbers in the AHL, and he's he's almost an ideal number three, I think, in most organizations, where he's a veteran, you know, very good teammate, you know, no issues with, you know, the way he is around the team. He knows his role, I guess, and he can come up and play some NHL games if you need him. But, you know, I know that the news was hard for him, and, you know, he wanted more chances to try to prove he could handle the job here.
Good stuff as always, CJ. We will talk to you on Tuesday. Thank you, pal.
All right, guys. Take care.